ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Matthew 26:32, before his death and resurrection, Jesus said, "And after I've been raised, I will go before you in Galilee." After his death and resurrection, we see this spoken of in Matthew 28, verses 7 through 10. "But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, as he has said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.'" And lastly, Mark 16:17, "But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." So they're just doing what the Lord told them to do. They went there to Galilee. So what's the problem? Problem is this, what Peter said, "I'm going fishing." How did he say that? Well, we don't know his tone or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with going fishing. But I think Peter just got tired of waiting. I think he had lost hope. I think he thought he failed and there was no way that God would ever use him again. And so he's going to go back to fishing. "I can't take it any longer, basically, guys. I'm not waiting here. It's foolish for me to do anything. I'm going fishing. I'm pretty much done with everything else." You know, Peter was a fisherman, remember, by trade. He worked with James and John on their fishing boat. That was the old life. But in Matthew 4, verses 18 and 20, Jesus changed his mission. He said to Simon, or Peter, and Andrew, his brother, they cast nets into the sea. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. See, no longer are you going to be out on a boat catching fish, but you're going out in the world to catch lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for Peter, it seemed like the other men looked up to him. "I'm going fishing. Hey, we're going with you." As leaders, we got to be careful because we can influence people in the things that they do or don't do. Peter caused them to leave the ministry behind as well. "We're going fishing." There's another reason I feel Peter was not doing what he was supposed to be doing. Here, these guys are fishermen, right? Most of them. Out on the Sea of Galilee, they toss in their nets. How many fish did they catch? Nothing. Not even a minnow. When you think about that, that is like the craziest thing. Not even one little fish. It's hard to be fishermen, to be in business, when you don't catch fish, right? I think they were doing their own thing and they caught nothing. They weren't waiting for the Lord as he had called them to do. And we can go down that path. We can get tired of waiting, or this happens and that happens, and we just drop out. We're not involved anymore. And I've seen this over and over, that when things don't go the way people want, they do drop out. They stop doing what the Lord called them to do. The other issue is when we start doing things in our own strength and our own power, according to what we want to do instead of what the Lord wants, you're not going to catch any fish or you're not going to be fruitful. Now, I don't want you to get too discouraged here, but here's the thing. If you wait upon God, if you're directed by him, we're going to see you're going to be very fruitful. But if you try to do it on your own, it's just not going to work. You know, years ago, when I went to conferences and people would ask me this question, it always troubled me when they asked me it. "How big is your church?" And, you know, maybe because our church is small, maybe that's why it bothered me. I don't think so. But no one never, ever, ever asked me, "Is your church growing spiritually speaking? Are they maturing? Are they being involved?" You see, that's the big issue, right? Not the numbers. And we got to remember that. The fruit that is born as the Word of God is taught and the Spirit of God is working in their lives. Now, Peter, again, "I'm going back to fishing," and the other guys just join him. And now the Lord's going to talk to them. They're not going to know it's the Lord right away. But what do you think he's going to say? Peter, what is wrong with you? I spent 3 years with you, man. I wasted all those 3 years. Instead of doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're on a boat catching fish, and you're not really catching fish. You're just bringing in an empty net. He didn't say that because Jesus is going to be drawing out their faith. Look at verse 4 here in John chapter 21. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Look at the love and compassion that Jesus had towards these men. And maybe you don't see that yet, but I'll show you. These guys, again, were fishing at night. You know, that was their job before the Lord called to them. So they must have been good at it. And they caught nothing. Frustrating. And now they're in their boat. Here's this guy on shore. They don't know it's Jesus. And Jesus tells them, "Children, do you have any food?" You know, he didn't condemn them. He didn't beat them up. He didn't mock them. "Children, have you any food?" I mean, think about it. He could have called them, "Hey, you rebels, backsliders, former disciples, because you're not my disciples any." No, he calls them children because they're his children and he loves them more than they will ever know. And we're his children, and it's only accomplished as we come to Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We're adopted into the family of God. Paul in Romans 8, verses 15 through 17 said, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." You know, Paul is telling us that Jesus has allowed us to be adopted into the family of God. Not second-class citizens, but joint heirs with Christ. Incredible. In fact, this is what we're told. Under Roman adoption, the life and standing of the adopted child changed completely. The adopted son lost all rights in his old family and gained all new rights in his new family. The old life of the adopted son was completely wiped out, with all debts being canceled, with nothing from his past counting against him anymore. That's exactly what God has done for us. Our debt has been paid. We're in a new family, the family of God. And we cry out, "Abba, Daddy, Father," because we're his children. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, if I'm fishing all day and I caught nothing and someone comes by, basically says, "Have you caught anything?" I don't want to answer that one if I didn't catch anything, you know? You should have seen the one that got away. It was, man, it was a monster. Or a few nibbles, but I wasn't able to bring anything in. No. These guys said, basically, "We caught nothing. We have no food." And Jesus, again, is drawing out their faith. And what does he tell them to do? He says, "Cast your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." Now, why the right side of the boat, not the left side of the boat? What spiritual significance does that have? Well, think about it. They were casting their nets on the wrong side of the boat. And Jesus said, "Cast your nets on the," what? Right. Oh, there you go. The right side of the boat, because it was the wrong side of the boat. Now, think about that. I don't know how big these boats were. You know, what, 4 or 6 feet wide? I don't know. But you would think you threw your net on the left side of the boat, one little fish would have swam into that net, right? But they cast it onto the right side of the boat, and it's overflowing their net. Well, that's just God, isn't it? In fact, their nets, they weren't able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Wow. When you're outside the will of God, a few inches or a feet don't really matter because you're a million miles away. But when you turn back to the Lord, when you follow his directions, you look, you'll see the fish or fruit that you will bring in. In fact, I like what Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, verses 20 through 21. "Now to him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And we've seen that over the years here at Calvary, how God has done that exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The key is to follow his will, not to do our own thing, but listen to his voice and obey him. I'll give you this example, a story about Jack. He was out jogging one day, and he got close to a cliff. Not a good thing to do, especially when you're jogging and you're tired. And he started to fall. And on the way down, he managed to grab a branch, nearly yanking it out of the cliff. And he caught his breath. He realized he's in serious trouble here. He couldn't get up, and he wasn't going to let go. So he began to scream, "Hello up there! Can anyone hear me?" In a moment, a voice returned, "Jack, can you hear me?" "Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here. I can see you. Jack, are you all right?" "Yes, but who are you and where are you?" "I'm the Lord, Jack. I'm everywhere." "The Lord, you mean God?" "That's me. God help me. I promise that if you get me down from here, I'll stop sinning. I'll be a really good person and serve you for the rest of my life." "Easy on the promises, Jack. First, let's get you down. Then we can discuss those." "I'll do anything, Lord. Just tell me what to do, okay?" "Okay. Let go of the branch." "What?" "I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me. Let go." Well, there was this long pause by Jack, and he thought about it. And then he yelled out, "Hello, hello, is there anybody else up there?" Yeah, sometimes God calls us to do things that are very, very difficult, aren't they? And we got to trust in him. We got to let go of those things that we're holding on to for our safety and walk by faith and trust in the Lord. I mean, you look at the example of David when he went after Goliath. I mean, he went after him with a slingshot and 5 stones because he trusted in the Lord. He walked by faith. And that's what God calls us to do. Sometimes he stretches us so much, but that's how we grow. You know, you think of weightlifters. They're building muscle, but it takes effort. They have to exercise their faith. Our faith muscle is exercised as we trust in the Lord and do those things he's called us to do. These guys, they caught nothing as they fished. And the Lord says, "Cast your net on the right side." And they obeyed. I like that. So Jesus is drawing out their faith. And that will lead to the next point, the results. Look at verse 7. We're told this. "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.' And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken." I like this because they didn't take credit for catching all these fish. They didn't say, you know, it's because of our great fishing abilities that we did this. No. What did they say? "It is the Lord. He's the one who's done this. Not me, not any of these guys, not our fishing skills. It was the Lord." You know, Jesus said in John 15:5, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Here's the example. Apart from the Lord, they caught nothing. But with the Lord, their nets were overflowing. We understand it, I think, theologically. But do we understand it practically speaking? What do I mean? We know what the Bible says. But are we living it? Are we applying these things to our lives? You see, Christianity is not about Bible knowledge. Now, please, don't get mad at me. But it's not just about Bible knowledge. It's about taking what God has said in his word and applying it to our lives. Because if we don't apply it, it's meaningless. You know, I've used the example before. On cigarette boxes, you know, the Surgeon General has warned cigarette smoking can cause lung cancer, heart disease, other things, right? There is the information. What do you do with that? Do you take that information, apply it to your life? Okay, I'm not going to smoke because of what this says. That's what we do with the Bible. Okay, this is what God has said in his word. Now he wants me to apply it to my life. See how important? It's the Lord who does these things, not us. You know, once we get prideful and think, you know, if I was in here, nothing would get done. If I was in here, who would do this? Are you kidding? God, we get things done. I have no problem. You know, when I go on missions trips and vacation, things are going to get done. It's going to get taken care of. The reason being is because I trust God. If I was removed, don't you think God would bring up someone else to do the work of the ministry? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because God's not saying, man, if I lose Joe, we're in serious trouble. No. I'm just a servant of God, and it's only because of him I'm able to do the things that I do. We got to not let pride get in the way. And these guys didn't. They said, we didn't do this. This is the Lord. This is totally him. There's no way we could have done it. And I think, you know, this disciple that Jesus loved is John, the apostle. And I think John is remembering what took place earlier on in his ministry, right? Back in Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, listen to what happened, because I think this whole incident, no fish and then a net full of fish, triggered John. It's the Lord. He's the one who's doing this. That's him over there. We're told, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. This was a similar encounter here in the Gospel of John, after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And I think, again, the light went on for John. This has to be the Lord. And what does Peter do? Puts on his outer garment, jumps into the water so he can get to Jesus as soon as possible. That's devotion. They're about 300 feet from shore, according to John 21:8. So Peter jumps in for the Lord, but everyone else is still in the boat. So who's right here? Who has more faith? Who's more spiritual? Neither. They're both the same. There's nothing wrong with how they handle the situation. Think about it. There are people within the body of Christ who jump in and others who take the boat. That's just the way it is. There's a variety of different people doing a variety of different things. It's the body of Christ. They both came to the Lord, but just different ways. And that's the thing, you know, we don't have to make people like us because God has already made them who they are. And they function according to the way God has made them. Let them use their gifts. Let them use their abilities as God has allowed them. And I like that. You know, we're told, you know, 153 fish. What does it mean? It means 153 fish. People want to get spiritual. They have many explanations. It's a number of languages in the world at time, number of races or tribes in the world, number of different kinds of fish in the Sea of Galilee. I don't know. They go on and on. Here's the thing that God does. When God is working in people's lives, there will be fruit. He does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So Peter gets to shore first, and the others follow along. And when they get there, we're told they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Isn't that nice? A breakfast for them. The Lord prepared a meal for these tired and hungry fishermen, and doesn't he fill our hungry hearts? Absolutely. One commentator put it like this. He said, "All night long the disciples had been looking for fish, when all the while Jesus had it right at hand, freshly grilled, ready to eat. Jesus had their breakfast all ready, broiled fish and bread. We do not know whether the Lord caught these fish or whether he obtained them miraculously, but we do learn that he is not dependent on our poor effort. Jesus had called these men into full-time ministry 3.5 years ago, but here they are worried about providing for themselves and their families. So they leave the ministry and try to provide their own food. Not going to work. Seek first the kingdom of God." You know, does the Lord need our help? Absolutely not. But he allows us to help him. And I like that. You know, can you imagine? Here's this food cooking as they arrive on shore. And what's interesting in verse 10 here of John 21, Jesus also said, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught, just caught." Who caught those fish? Well, the Lord did. But Jesus says, bring the ones you caught. I like that. Again, we can't do anything apart from him. And the Lord gives us the gifts. He gives us the ability. And then we are rewarded for the service we bring to him. You know, the example that I like to use is when our kids were young and, you know, they wanted to buy a Christmas present for us. So what do? You give them money to buy your Christmas present. And they buy the Christmas present, whatever it is, and wrap it up and you open, "Oh, this is wonderful. Thank you so much." That's what the Lord does, right? Here's all the gifts, the ability, the resources you need. And then he says, "Thank you for your service to me." Wow. Lord, you are so gracious and merciful. Did Jesus need their help? No. But he allowed them to help and contribute. Now, Peter, I think Peter was a pretty big, strong fisherman. That's just my opinion. But he goes and grabs the net and brings it on shore. But I don't think here it was his strength that was the main focus. Because the whole group of men couldn't pull the net in, but Peter did. How could he do it then? Because the Lord said, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." And Peter just obeyed the Lord and was able to do it. You know, I told you before that, you know, for me, speaking in front of people was the most frightening, terrifying thing in the world for me to do. So what does the Lord do? I get saved and the Lord says, "You're going to be a pastor up in Wisconsin one day." I'm a Chicago boy, you know. How was it going to happen? I don't know. But the Lord took what was so fearful to me and gave me the ability to do it. Also, writing, putting things together like this, are you kidding me? My English teacher is still in therapy today from all my papers that I wrote. They were horrible. But the Lord again gave me the ability. And it's not that I could say, you know, I went to Bible school, because I tried to go to Bible school. I tried to take one class only. And I went and talked to the counselor, and we spent some time together, and he finally looked at me and said, "You know, I'm really sorry, but with your schedule, I can't fit any classes into your schedule." I'm like, "Well, that's insane. That makes no sense." And I kind of left and I was kind of mad. I'm like, "Well, Lord, what do you want? You want me to be a pastor? What do you want me to do?" And he basically said to me, "You know, Joe, you are not going to have a degree that you can hang on the wall and point at and say, 'Look, I have a Bible degree.' I'm going to teach you." And he did. Just trusting in the Lord, walking by faith. He gives us these abilities that are supernatural. We just need to obey. So we look at here the results of obeying the Lord, and we're going to look at now fellowship with Jesus, which is really what it's all about. Verse 12 here in John 21. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So now, before I deal with this fellowship with Jesus, let me talk a little bit about what it says in verse 12, "Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' knowing it was the Lord." That's kind of a strange idea. They spend 3.5 years with Jesus. How did they not know him?
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.